Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies.
Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe.
Thank you so much for tuning in at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. Rate, review, subscribe, whatever platform you listen on. We appreciate you for doing so and all of you who already have. So, welcome. Well, it ain't looking good.
No.
It's not looking good. We are going to be here after every game. We are going to try to still do our pre-games. But, folks, it doesn't look good. What we're going to do is probably change up the podcast a little bit. Talked to James yesterday. We're going to be doing a basketball preview soon. I know Tyler wanted to come on. I want to thank everybody whoever is listening right now, okay, after the loss to Liberty, whoever is listening right now, let me tell you, you're hardcore, and we love you. You are our favorite people, okay?
Yes.
So
That's a fan like me. Fans like us.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Very true. And we appreciate it. So, you know, obviously, it's going to be tough to come here. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just being realistic. It doesn't look good. We're going to do the good, bad, and the ugly. We're going to get Joe's thoughts. You're going to hear from us. We're going to hear from you and fan feedback. We're going to still do all that stuff. We're still going to have fun with that. But we're going to have to mix it up a little bit. So we are going to do so. and, you know, as you know, we got Clemson next. Well, what kind of preview could we really give you for Clemson that you don't already know? I don't know. I have no idea. So.
Yeah. I mean, 73-7 enough for you?
I mean, the spread comes out today. It's 37.5 points opening up. You know, people are going to jump all over that. It's going to be up to, I said it was going to be up to 42 by the time we did our preview for Clemson. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that. You know, we're told to keep the faith, keep the faith. Well, I mean, I'm all out of faith right now. I need to see. Okay, this isn't God we're talking about. This is Syracuse football. And right. What I see is not giving me much faith. Therefore, I need to see. Okay?
Yeah, I know. I get it. I think that's going to kind of have to go to another... You're going to have your own kind of thought process when it comes to that, because you could still have faith in the future of this team.
I'm talking about this year.
Yeah, I'm talking about like maybe just going into next week, you know, because other things can happen, right? I mean, you saw NC State, their quarterback went down yesterday. You don't know how bad that is. And just a couple injuries like that, stuff kind of starts to mount up. We start to get some guys back, like you said, and like we did last year. We could sneak out a couple wins at the end of the year. But going into this matchup coming up, I don't see the faith. I'd like to meet you if it's there.
Well, we'll see how they do. We'll see how they do and respond. And does Dabo even... And this is going to be very close to watching a preseason NFL game, you know, where you get the quarterback some reps maybe through halftime and then just, you know, figure change it up a little bit, something like that. Man, I don't know.
A lot can happen over 1 year, right? So, again, a season isn't lost, right? You get a chance to be able to get some of these guys in there. It's the same reason why coaches, I mean, bowl games are so important. And it's important to get to a point where we're going to a bowl game every year, because you get those extra practices. You get to get some of those younger guys out there that maybe might be under that 4-game threshold where it's not going to have any type of circumstances towards the guy's red shirt. It's all about getting guys ready for next year, but also obviously sending the seniors out the right way. But with this year, with 2020, nothing is even – it's just one of those things. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, nothing is normal in 2020, and I'm just going to chalk it up as that and try to just take as many positives as I personally can out of it. I know Rex Culpepper, he's going to be getting the starts here for, you know, for the foreseeable future anyway, at least this weekend. But just to have these young guys go down to Clemson and play Clemson at Clemson, especially – you know, this team and stuff. I'm not saying it's going to look pretty. It actually is probably going to be pretty ugly, but that type of experience and those type of games are necessary for kids to grow. I mean, I've seen plays where some of these guys, these younger guys, they're in the right spot. They're doing the right thing, and they just can't make the play just basically because they're 3-4 years younger than a guy, and they're just not strong enough. And that's what that happens in college. This is an NFL where everybody was a stud at college,
sure,
right? And everybody is got the size and stuff like that. So, that's got to frustrate. And you know, being an athlete, and I'm sure you know, even I mean, you played some sports too. It's frustrating when you get handled, and especially when you get handled and you know it's because it was a strength thing or this or that, and it's something that, you know, it's, I just got to put time in and I just got to put that work in, and I'll be able to make that play and I'll be able to stand out. And that's kind of what I hope that this year kind of breeds into this team. We're going to see, like, as you can see, even going into winter sports, they're allowing, what, an extra year or something like that? The NCAA, like, granted something?
Yeah, so... At Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic,
yeah,
she tweeted something out earlier in the week. The NCAA's Division I Council has voted to give an additional year of eligibility to winter sport athletes, source told The Atlantic. Just like fall sports athletes, doesn't matter how much or little anyone has played. So that's going to go for football, basketball, everything.
So does that mean that is that only for the people that like opt out?
I would think it was the details I could not find, but I would think it would be for seniors and opt outs. Right? That's the way it makes sense, right? So
well, yeah, but I mean, if you're a senior and you play the whole season, then why are you getting an extra year?
Well, that's just how that's how it's read.
Right, right. No, I get it. I just, you know, and this stuff, and I'm sitting here just reading an Inside the Loud House article and by Neil Adler. And when I saw that, I'm like, so why again did Chris Blights not get his waiver?
His waiver,
like,
yeah, that sucks.
You're giving out free stuff. There shouldn't be during a year of COVID, you know, 2020. You know, if you're going to give it to everybody, then, I mean, why are you even worried about denying waivers and this and that? You're granting people, after they play a whole season, still another year to play. You're going to be able to tweak some of the scholarship rules. So next year, there's going to be more people or players on teams other than scholarship players as far as over 85. So you're doing all that and you make a big deal about that. But nonetheless, like I said, I think that it's going to help the young guys, and hopefully it gets them motivated to become bigger and faster and stronger, because realistically, I personally think that as far as the players are concerned, That's really all they're missing. I see a lot of talented, headstrong kids out there that are out there. Some obviously they're going to make mistakes, but for the most part, it looks like they're out there doing what they're supposed to be doing, and it's just they're going against bigger, stronger, faster guys, and it's to no fault of their own, you know.
From that to the penalties to, you know, Hannah just jumping on that ball a little bit too squirrely. I mean, he could have recovered that fumble. It was right there in front of him. Instead, he just, like, it's just one of those freshman moves where,
yeah,
you know, he could have had it, but he just squirted it, and it freaking went out of bounds, basically. So
yeah, and yeah. I mean, you have Rex Culpepper, who's, you know, not, and like I said, I mean, I said it, I was a little I don't want to say tough on him. I mean, mean, but more or less tough on him after the Duke game. And then I was a little bit more like, okay, well, he's kind of the only guy that knows the offense, kind of probably the only guy that's physically strong enough and mentally strong enough to take this kind of beating against some of these teams that were going to be coming up, you know, and give him a chance. And I don't think he played awful, but I mean, his QBR was 27.9, and I don't really think the play calling helped him out that much as well. So there's more than just the fact that we have lack of depth. There's multiple issues. But again, like everything else, and I'm just going to blame it on COVID 2020. Keep it moving.
Yeah. All right. Well, you heard a little bit from us. Let's hear from Coach, and then you'll hear from us again, and then we'll hear from you. Here's Coach.
Well, you start at the obvious parts. The obvious parts is you can't win the football game if you can't stop people from rushing the football. And you have to continue to not only run the football better on offense, but you have to be consistent on third down. Now, you look at the stats of the game, neither team was good on third down. And then when you go to the fourth down, they were 2 for 2 and we were 2 for 4. You get in a short yardage situation, you got to be able to convert. And you go through all, not all of them, most of the mishaps are either a mental mistake or a physical mistake by mostly young people, but some veterans. And that's the disappointing part, is the veterans part of it. And the penalties are from veteran guys. They're not from a bunch of freshmen, which is disappointing. You know, they're unselfish penalties. I mean, those are guys that you have to drop your ego so the team can go forward, and you can't get into a pushing match or some battle with some Yahoo that cost us 15 yards position. One of the reasons we're not getting better is that we're constantly changing over personnel. And as everyone else would say that's playing us, so what? That's part of the business. We have to find out what our personnel can do, and we've got to stay consistent. We have to stay consistent. Hey, we got a lot of young people playing, and it's going to have to get better. But that same fan base saw guys beat Virginia Tech when they weren't supposed to be very good. So that same fan base saw what we did with Clemson, okay, when we weren't supposed to be very good. And that same fan base saw 6 minutes and 45 seconds from winning the conference. So if they're going to be – I expect them to have faith, and I expect them to know that we're going to write it. But right now we've got a bunch of young guys playing and a bunch of old guys hurt, and that's the way it's going to be until we start getting some cats back and guys start getting better. We had trouble stopping the play up the middle, just like everyone else saw. And that's a play in their offense that you have to stop. And is it that simple? No, but to the eye of the consumer, it's basically, yeah, there's a ball running up the middle and we had trouble stopping it. Until you stop that ball up the middle, you're not going to be able to stop anything.
The Coach Montage is brought to us by our title sponsor. That is Bet Online. I just showed it to Joe. Like, he cares. I don't know.
Of course I care.
Anyway, Bet Online is a proud sponsor, I hope, of this show, Tie Thoughts and Armchair Media. Look, football's in full effect. You know this. And with many teams strutting their stuff, the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might not be able to get to a game this year, but you can still get in on all the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spread totals, from game spreads and totals to team player and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head over to BetOnline today. Use the promo code Armchair. It's here, the promo code Armchair at betonline.ag. Take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, BetOnline. Okay, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Quickly, the good, the bad, the ugly. First, do you have anything to say about what Coach said? I mean, I was trying to get you to stop because he was going to, we were touching on some of the things he was saying. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, but, yeah, I think, yeah, it's more the faith thing, really. And I think that there's some things that are out there. Again, read an article, Noon's Magician, don't know if you saw it, but John Cassillo talking about if you always have faith, you never need results. And again, it's just one of those things where – I think it's funny that once you get one good season or something happens like that, then all of a sudden it turns into the expectation, right? And we saw what happened with two big expectations when you had a big turnover last year. And frankly, I mean, again, I'm all about, you know, there's reasons and not excuses. And of course, there are some bad things. Everything's not perfect. But the reasons why we're losing games like this, I think they're over basically the excuses and the bad, you know, maybe little coaching mishaps or penalties or lack of discipline or, you know, stuff that any team goes through anyway. But sometimes, you know, you can fight through that with depth and with, you know, with experienced players. So I just wanted to touch a little bit on that. I think that some people just get kind of, you know, blue in the face over it. And like you said, faith, and need to see results. But again, we're not that far removed from a 10-3 season. And I think Tommy, or, you know, everyone thought that Tommy might have been a little bit better than what he was, but I think there was a lot of the product of his environment, because you saw what he did when he was in there with the players that Dungy was in there with. And honestly, I mean, just looking at the games realistically, we played against North Carolina and Pittsburgh, and I think we held both those teams under 175 yards, 150 yards rushing. And that was when we had Cisco.
You're treading into my waters here. I've already got that written down. No, I did not see that piece at Nunes. I was just basically touching on what Coach said in his press conference. So, I mean, we hear a lot of the faith stuff. Look, right now, I know what we got. I'm going to be ecstatic if we win. I think we can win. I don't really need faith in a football team right now. That's not what I need. I just want to see something. That is my point. It's not for next year. It's not for Clemson. It's just like, you know, this year I want to see something. Like, we have not gotten better. With or without Tommy. Even with Tommy, we weren't getting better. But we were being depleted at the same time. It's an unfair gauge. Because everything has been so different.
Yes, every week.
Every week. And it's an unfair gauge, okay?
Yes.
And I get that. And that's kind of what I've been trying to tell some of the other Syracuse fans. But you do have to understand that some people don't want to hear that. And when it comes down to have faith, well, I don't right now. For the rest of this year, I wouldn't be surprised if we went 1-10. And I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised. I think that they might be able to pull something off. You know, there's a lot of football left to play. But my fear is, because I didn't see them get better with Tommy, and it was something different every week. You know, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
We
got better with Georgia Tech. I think we got lucky on the fact that.
He's going to talk again.
But go ahead.
He's going to talk again, and it's so hard to shut him up. It's so hard. I can wave my arms. I can give the old wrap it up symbol with the one finger. He just doesn't listen.
I'm not paying attention to you.
Rex Culpepper got some much-needed reps heading into the Clemson game. He's going to need those. We'll see what happens as far as putting in any kind of backup, but I don't know. I really don't know. Tyrell Richards is back again, and he led the Orange with 9 tackles. Anthony Quealy, he hauled in his first touchdown pass of his Orange career, and Marlo Wax got his first sack. That's the good, the bad. More missed opportunities. We kind of touched on it a little bit. A couple failed fourth down conversions. The one after the fumble recovery. We have just had this problem with not being able to capitalize on turnovers in your infield goal range. You're down 7-14. I take the field goal there. I understand that I understand the risk, and it's a good risk to take right down there in that short yardage in that situation. But you ran it up the middle again. It's dumb. Sorry, that's me. The best ball thrown the day by Culpepper was just flat dropped by Harrison. He didn't help him out with that, and it could have, who knows what could have happened. He was going in, he could have scored there. The ugly, to your point that you were just trying to make, between Shedro Lewis, Peyton Pickett, and Malik Willis, the Flames gashed the Orange for 338 yards. And since we've lost Cisco, here are the numbers, okay? This was the point Joe was about to try to make. Well, he did make it, but here's the numbers. Cisco played against UNC and Pitt. right? They rushed for a combined 287 yards. The first game that Cisco did not play in was the Georgia Tech game. We won, but Georgia Tech rushed for 275 yards in that game. Now, add the last two games, being Duke and Liberty, and in those three games that Cisco has not been in, the teams have racked up 976 yards. And it just goes to show you, to Joe's point, how important it is to have a veteran guy with the talent and skill level of Andre Cisco playing that rover spot to keep some of this run game in check. And although we were getting hit a little bit, you know, with the first couple of games, they're over, you know, 160, 150, something like that for each one. But Cisco kept it in check. Huge piece, huge, huge, huge piece, and everybody knows it. So what are they going to do when they play Syracuse? They're going to run the freaking ball. That's what they're going to do.
Yep. And that's we knew that that was Cisco's 3-3-5. You need to have those defensive backs physical coming up, the rover coming up playing linebacker every once in a while, but we knew that we needed them to come up and help in the run game. That's what makes the 3-3-5 works, and you have the personnel to come up and do that. And I don't know how many people we had, players that we had that could do that. Obviously, it looks like Cisco, maybe Coley might have been some of the only ones. But again, there's a big difference between, you know, possible second-round draft pick, NFL guy guaranteed, versus a true freshman, albeit Rob Hanna is doing the best that he can, and he's played good. But when you see them side-by-side, there is a vast, vast difference. And obviously, we've seen it in the numbers.
Oh, obviously. And Hanna did lead the team in tackles, I believe it was against Duke, I think. Or was it the game? It could have been Georgia Tech.
I think it was Georgia Tech. Georgia he had an interception, Tech. Too. Okay.
Yeah. And he played great. And look, there are guys trying to do – they're filling big shoes. Like, we know this. To my point about, you know, just everything we've talked about since this episode started.
Yeah.
It's just one thing after another. And we've been heading down this road. And this is the culmination of just catastrophic injuries and poor situations. I've been saying since spring practice was canceled and all this, I'm like, this is going to kill Syracuse. That, like, if any team needs these types of reps in the offseason, it's Syracuse. I mean,
no, it's teams with coaching changes and coordinator changes, scheme changes, anything like that, right? You need to be able to know your personnel and know what they can do. And I think that that's had an effect on a little bit of the 3-3-5 and probably why it's not as deep, because we haven't been recruiting for that defense. So that's probably why there's a lot of younger players playing. But also the offensive of coordinator, he's had a couple different quarterbacks and stuff like that. You got to get used to your personnel and know how to call the, you know, the game and everything like that. And I thought there's bits and pieces and times when he called it for, you know, Culpepper to manage the game well. But I just think that there's so many, like you said, that fourth and you got to, at this point, you got to take points where you can get it. And this fourth and whatever.
You go down 10 to 14, but you got points on the board and you turn a turnover into 3 points. It's better than no points.
At least you want to look at
draw
how
something
bad
up.
It is, right?
At least
right.
Draw what, something what, creative up.
Well, we talked about it too with Duke, right? We lost by 14. But we left, 10 points on the board, right?
Yeah.
And then with this game, too, with the Taj Harris drop and with that, you know, if we take that field goal in that fourth and whatever in the red zone, then you're talking about another 10 points, and it was a 17-point game. So you get to the fourth quarter, and it's a one-possession game. Things can get hairy. Things can happen.
Oh, I mean, there's different strategies for that. And Liberty's not on cruise control.
And you watch North Carolina come back on Florida State. Like, some teams can come back by 17 points, but what Syracuse fan in their right mind on Saturday went into that fourth quarter thinking that we were going to win that game?
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody. In the team either. And there was frustrations on the sidelines as well. There's a screenshot of
Taj Harris.
Taj Harris giving the old bird to the camera and stuff. And, you know, we haven't heard anything going on with that, but we all know Taj's history, and we know he gets frustrated. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and I don't have a problem.
Passionate player.
Yes, very much. And I don't necessarily have, like, a huge problem with that. It's just a bad look in a loss like that. It looks, like, sour.
He does get frustrated, and we've seen him kind of show up quarterbacks even sometimes right on the field when he doesn't get pass plays or he's open and he doesn't get a chance to make a play.
all last year with DeVito, him and DeVito were not on the same page. It was obvious frustration.
But he's also just as hard on himself when he doesn't make a play.
Well, I think that's what some of that is. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's what a lot of it is.
That was probably after he dropped that bomb.
Yeah, I don't even know when it was. I saw it after on social media. So,
right.
Anyway, it is what it is. Moving on. Let's proceed here. It is once again time to hear about...
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
BetOnline.ag. Football is in full effect. And with a lot of teams strutting their stuff, like Clemson, just killing it. And with MLB playoffs here, they're in full swing, no pun intended. You might not be able to get to a game this year, but you could still get in on all the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head over to BetOnline today. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you. BetOnline.ag. Look, Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game. Here we go. We had the shears. We got the Lawnmower 3.0. Now it's time for the Weed Whacker. That's right. The nose and ear hair trimmer that provides proprietary safe skin technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The delicate holes being your nose and ears, guys. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system, and its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it is waterproof, just like the Lawnmower 3.0, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. It is the only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes. Now, how many nose hairs can you cut in 90 minutes, Joe. I mean, how many times can you use that thing? Like, seriously, nothing is going to stop the dust from entering your brain ever again. You got 90 minutes of this thing, okay? Look, 79% of partners polled admit that long nose hair is a turnoff, gentlemen, okay? So the number's a little disappointing to me, that 21% of people don't think long nose hair is a turnoff. But hey, I mean, to each his own, man. You dig nose hair, right, Joe?
Hey, man.
It is what it is.
It's all natural, right?
That's right. All right. Head over to manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code armchair. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack the weeds. Thank you, Manscaped. All right, so we will start fan feedback. I didn't have my drop queued up, so I apologize. Look, fan feedback is where you go to leave your feedback. At the end of every game, we'll ask you for your thoughts. Go there, leave your thoughts. I know a lot of you are not on social media, but you can always email at QSMilitia or QSMilitia@gmail.com. You can do that too. So if whatever suits you, you know, I get those emails once in a while. All right, yeah. Look, this one is from my brother-in-law. He is not on social media, but we do text every game. I asked him. He was a Sit DeVito guy, bring on Culpepper. So I asked him nicely, and then I think this is a legitimate question, Joe, right? Do you still feel like Culpepper, that you would play Culpepper, rather have Culpepper play over DeVito? That's a legitimate question, right? Because we've been through this, right?
Right.
And he says to me, go Q's hoops. I would never abandon Q's football, but I simply can't stomach watching them this year. I'm stacking wood, and with this COVID and injuries and all the player opt-outs, I'll keep tabs, but I'm glad I don't have to host a podcast. That's what he said. So,
so he just didn't want to say anything mean about a specific player.
Basically.
Or is he just saying that it doesn't really matter who's playing quarterback at this point?
What he's... Exactly. I think so. I think he's over it. And I think a lot of fans feel that way. I really do.
I get it. I get it. There's still going to be us who's going to watch it every week.
Yeah. And that's why I said, you know, anybody listening to this podcast right now, you are the hardcore of the hardcore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Because not only did you watch them lose, you're coming here to hear about it.
Right.
Right. So,
well, and some of these guys got 2, 3, 4 more years left. I want to see these guys. And I think Babers, what he talks about with younger guys and not having the same personnel out there all the time, you kind of need that to get continuity. And if you don't have it and it's always changing, then it's very hard to try to see what you got and get better with the players that you got. So, if they're young players, they're going to get better. And if we get experienced guys back from injury, then that's going to help as well. So, again, I just want to see improvement, just like you said, and see what we have looking forward to the future. And who knows, maybe we do pull out a game like a Virginia Tech or a Clemson, like we did in seasons that Babers had when he first started.
So, anyway, at SU Vidala, he says, kind of wondering where Trill Williams was in the first half. And Trey Williams, Trill's dad, commented on it. He got in the fan feedback, and he said, honestly, he played the second half against my wishes. He didn't practice all week, but he had to try and help. So Trill obviously nursing an injury there. Maybe should have, would have, probably not played. So
right.
Let's see.
Well, that's what it kind of looked like with a lot of the guys, right? I mean, there were some linebackers that I didn't know were going to play, and it was like in and out and in and out. I mean, I saw Canton RQ play. I mean, I think in the second half, I think you saw some guys kind of say, hey, I'm going to try to play because we need to try to win. And, I mean, kudos to them. Obviously, didn't really happen. But Trill went in there, and he tried to make a difference. And he was somebody who definitely stuck out, that's for sure.
Yeah, as he always does. You can tell when he's in the game, for sure.
Right.
At Mackey_62, he said, this is interesting. He said, Scott Schaefer was 22 and 28, vilified by fans and media and run out of town on a rail. Dino Babers will be 24 and 30 after losing to Liberty. So, I mean, those are just the numbers. So, Anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it. Hey, look, if you remember, I was somebody who, and I don't know if you do, but I was somebody who I was excited for the Babers hire. I was excited when he got hired. Right.
We all were,
at the same time, when he got when Schaefer got fired, I was against it because it was like, you got to give this guy more time. Like, this, you got to give him at least a certain amount of time. I believe they only gave him 3 years, right? Or was it four?
You got me, bro.
I think it was four. But either way, like, I was sick and tired of the turnstile coach. Like, only give him 4 years to figure it out and then leave. And now we got to change culture and change everything. You get mass exodus of players, and then you get players that, you know, you're trying to recruit halfway through a coaching change. I mean, I hate it. I want to see at least a little bit of stability. And then after, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, they haven't done anything. Okay. Then I'm on board.
At MC Dendis, no surprise, we're not a good team. Actually scored more than I thought they would. Oh, and we will not win another game this year. Okay. So here's the thing. I was very skeptical about beating Liberty. I really was. I didn't, I think Liberty's kind of sneaky decent. I don't know if that's a term, but they're like sneaky decent. And they've got a lot of experience, like we talked in the pregame. As far as winning another game, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they won one or two, and I wouldn't be surprised if they lost them all. I mean, that's where I'm at.
Right.
Right.
And again, so, beginning of the season, we talked about this. And I said I'd rather them play and be able to watch and have the kids be able to play, because you knew that's what they wanted to do. And the coaches coached because you knew what they wanted to do. And go 0-10 or 0-11 or whatever. I was willing to see a losing an overall 0-0 win season, just so these kids could play, coaches could play, and we could have a little bit of normalcy in this 2020 year. So I'm okay with it one way or another.
Robert on Facebook, no run D whatsoever. I have to wonder if our two starting running backs would have sat out. In other words, where we'd be. You know, you think about the opt-outs. We're on our fifth-string running back. Their leadership is glaringly missing, and Cisco being out doesn't help. They just aren't that good. And we talked about it. He's right. And so you think about the dual threat at running back and what we could do to open up a passing game for Tommy and maybe not have to hold the ball so long or whatever. Or be have options, have more options. And Sean Tucker has done a great job. Unfortunately, this is where we're at. We got Tommy on a scooter and Rex Culpepper's in there. That's where we're at, right? So it's not. I'm not laughing, but he was on a scooter. So I'm not laughing at that. But, you know, that's where we're at, okay?
Yeah.
But we don't know. We can sit here and speculate all day, right? I mean, you know. Yeah.
But that scooter usually tells me Achilles injury every day of the damn week. But
right.
You never know if it's just something that could just keep him off his feet. But either way, that's what that says to me every week. And, you know, I think Liberty came out and they actually kind of proved what we talked about as far as the preview goes. We talked about it. They are an independent team, and they do have a high-level name as far as Hugh Freeze as their coach. They have plenty of Power 5 transfers. I talked to a guy at work. They had two players from NC State transferred there. That quarterback was a transfer from Auburn. They're obviously getting recruits. That Luis guy I think he was a freshman, right? So they got guys that are pretty good and have played and were recruited for Power 5 conference. So that's just not a normal mid-major like we talked about. And I don't think that we've seen the best of Liberty, probably even this season. So people can say one way or another, oh, Liberty, oh, this, oh, that, and have their other reasons for not liking the fact that we lost them. But at lost to them, but at the end of the day, I think they're going to prove some people wrong. And you know, I'm gonna cheer for them, because just like every other team, if we lose to a team, I want that team to do good so it justifies our loss.
Yeah, I would. I'm kind of with you on that. This is not a popular thing to say either, but I would root for Liberty to do good for that reason mainly.
There was
Syracuse media and just Twitter accounts clowning them for their celebration in the locker room. Like, why are you clowning a team that just beat us like that? It is their you know, that's their biggest win of their of the program history for them. It's their first ACC win.
They've never started off 5-0. I don't know if it might be their first Power 5 win.
It could be. It could be.
And you get a team like that with transfers and a 4-0, and they come in and win this game. I mean, again, it could easily be turned around as some of Dino Babers, right?
I mean, well, I was just going to say the Virginia Tech game. I mean, you know.
The Florida State, Virginia Tech, right? He's had a couple different ones, and those are just in conference. You're talking about an independent.
The Florida State one would be the best example, right?
But either way, they're all conference, right? Both teams are conference games. Yeah. This is a Liberty team that went on the road. I think they've only been Division I for like two or three years.
3 years.
So, again, you're talking about the biggest win of the program. This is well warranted. So you can clown it all you want because it's not us. But I mean, we've had speeches like this, beating conference opponents. So what does that say about us?
You know, I think football's football. Right, and that's where I stand. Right, that's where I stand. You feel it's a big enough win to make a ruckus in the locker room. By all means, I guess do it. You know, you don't want the other team making a ruckus in the locker room. I guess you just beat them. Yeah. Right. if you don't want that to happen, beat them. So,
when you make fun of that is next week or the week or one of these coming weeks when Liberty loses to some mid-major team like who knows, right? South Alabama or something. And you're like, oh, remember the time when Liberty was cheering like they were something because they beat Syracuse? Like that's when you clown them, when they actually go ahead and lose. But right now they're 5-0. And they still have a couple more games against some ACC opponents, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So anyway, David on Facebook, I want to cry. Culpepper was okay, but dropped passes, no protection, and the defense can't stop a runny nose. FML. Yeah. Well, obviously we had some. Dude, the holes that dude was running through. Shedrow Lewis, the holes that he was running through. Some of those were just unacceptable, man. Like, if I was a little bit quicker, I could have scored. I could run through those holes. I could get 40 yards off of some of those holes, you know? I'm just saying, like, it was crazy. It was like two or three of them at least. So, yeah, it sucks. Daryl on Facebook. This was a bad loss, but I see brighter days ahead for this football program. I completely understand why Rex is starting. Rex gives us the best chance to win, or does he? Time to see what we have on our two backups. So if Rex goes down, then what? Dino absolutely has to get one or both, some reps. This is a very young team that's out there playing this year due to many reasons. Stop with the fire, Dino. Zero chance that happens at season end. Effing players to catch passes. Coaches can't hold their hand and do it for him. He goes on a little bit, but the Daryl throwing some shade on the fans there for the fire Dino chance, which they're starting to. I mean, just wait. After, what are we going to hear after Clemson? I mean, don't we expect to just lose that game? Are we going to go there again too? You know, but
yeah,
huh? Yes, he says yes. Yeah. I know. Anyways. He says, he sees brighter days ahead for this football program. Guys, we've got a good recruiting class coming in. We want to touch on some of that stuff. We want to remind you what this is going to look like. There's a lot of players that are coming in that are really talented. And you got to remember, we got some 4-stars coming in, and we haven't had those in a long time. I don't think now's not the time to fire Dino. I think that's ridiculous. He's been doing really good at recruiting. And he's got this group coming in next year. You got DeVito is going to have another year if he wants it. So, you know, next year will be night and day. We're going to get spring.
No, I believe.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a trash season right now, but next year is going to be totally different. So,
100%. We talked about that overall, and we opened up our pockets. Wild Hack opened up his pockets. We don't pay our coaches, our assistant coaches enough, and that has a little bit to do with it too. Anytime a coordinator or somebody gets a better paying job or a chance to go somewhere. I mean, there's some coordinators that, you know, like Steve Sarkisian, some of these guys, Alabama, Georgia, some of these coordinators, they get paid so much at these SEC schools that they don't even go and take these head coaching jobs because they just may make as much money and they win. So we haven't had that type of situation. There's a private school in New York. You only get so much money for that. And finally, we found some type of way to open up some, well, you know, that too, but open up the checkbooks and actually get some coordinators in there that can recruit and give us a little bit more of an upgrade. It's just, obviously that takes a little bit of time, right? This is almost like not pressing the reset button, but you change things, you bring in new coaches and different expectations, and then it takes a little while to kind of put into place, right? You make the plan, you have an idea, you make the plan, then you implement it.
Brandon on Facebook, he says, I hate COVID. It's awful, and I can't wait for this nightmare to end. But at least because of it, it has done anything for me. I can honestly say I don't waste money on season tickets. I'm glad I didn't waste money on season tickets this year. Well, look, I understand that. You got to wonder, if the whole COVID thing didn't happen, where we'd be, though. See, that's like the
first hindsight 2020, right?
Yeah, we're not, I promise you, without that, we are not where we are right now.
No.
I guarantee it. I guarantee, no. There's no way. I just don't buy that. And we'll never know, but that's my opinion.
Well, we'd have two running backs.
Well,
we have a couple other players that didn't leave the team, especially a couple of receivers. And, we would have had a situation where there'd be a little bit more cohesiveness. We'd know who we have and what they can do, and our coordinators would have had time to work with our guys. So, no, I don't think that it would be the same.
Yeah, it'd be a little different. But let's just assuming that the premise that he's bringing, and can't wait for this nightmare to end. I mean, look, I'm going to stand by what I said. I would rather watch football and go 0-11 than not play at all, right? So, I mean, I still believe that. I mean, I still enjoy watching the games. I still enjoy razzing and having fun on Twitter. So, during games. Otherwise, Twitter can eat it because it's a horrible place. Jacob on Facebook. I think at this point we need to kick the tires on some more of these freshmen and sophomores that we have and look and see what we can do in the future. We have some decent players planning on coming in the next season. And he goes on, but he's exactly right, and that's what we're talking about. Next season's going to be totally different, just to reiterate what I've already said. Zach on Facebook. Zach, top fan on Facebook. Thank you, Zach. You're the best. Offense, sadly, still looked better with Rex running the show. See, he thinks it looked better with Rex running the show, Joe. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you on that, Zach. Guess people have figured out the 3-3-5 really sucks. My love for SU football has taken a massive hit. I'm still a lifer, but the train wheels are coming off of the tracks. Look, the numbers that I said in the ugly earlier in the show with Andre Sisco in and out, that's the difference in the 3-3-5. We just don't have someone as talented as Sisco to fill that Rover spot right now, and they're searching. So,
no,
that's that. So, anyways, that's it, Joe. That's all I got. Any closing thoughts for you?
Well, a couple.
Oh boy, here we go. We'll be here another 15 minutes.
Oh, here we go. Right? Yeah. No, they just saw an update on the point spread.
Oh, what is it? Is that 40 yet?
44 and a half.
Get the hell out of here. Are you serious?
That's how hard these damn gamblers hit it.
They nailed it, man. And I was going to tweet it, but I didn't want to be a negative Nancy, but I wanted to tweet it out, man. It's at 37 and a half. Go put some money on that. Like, yeah,
now it's at 44.
Now it's
and
a little here. Iffy. Now it's a little.
Now you're getting in the waters of, like, you know, Dabo not wanting to embarrass Dino, right? At the same time, so.
Well, yeah, he didn't have a problem embarrassing Georgia Tech, though. So
yeah, well, you know, Georgia Tech, they probably deserved it, right? No, but to go back to one of the comments though, with talking about trying to get some of these young guys in, especially the quarterbacks.
Jacob. Jacob on Facebook.
Yeah, I think right now, especially going into Clemson, Again, I think you got to give that to Culpepper. You got to give that to that redshirt senior guy.
Oh, that was top fan Daryl, by the way. Sorry. Top fan Daryl.
You know, the 23-year-old that's going to be strong enough and to take those hits. And, I mean, this could be a rough game. Time out. It's going to be a rough game. And right. The last thing we need is to bring a freshman in that's never had a snap in college football come in and play against Clemson. So I'd be more on your side once we get past this Clemson situation. But, yeah, you don't throw any of those freshmen out there against Clemson. No way, no how. Not a quarterback.
Yeah, that's a tough call. I could see a case where they would, and I can see a case where they don't.
Start them.
Oh, no, you're not starting them. No. Okay. Look, that's it. One more thing before we go. I got an odd tweet today, and I've gotten a couple odd tweets, mentions, okay? And
yeah, I still had some questions about this too, by the way, so you'll be able to answer them now. Go ahead.
Yeah, so... This happens once in a while, and I can't think of a time it happened on Facebook, but it probably has. It's happened numerous times. At Sandra Moore, at Sandra M39 and a bunch of numbers. I don't know. She says, at Cuse Militia, get ready to go back underground where you belong. Unwelcome in America, because this is not the 17 or 1800s, so there is no use for an armed militia anymore. Well, Sandra, I mean, all you literally have to do is look at the bio on the Twitter account or click the picture. I mean, she's just randomly.
She probably randomly just cussing the word out militia.
Yes.
And she was probably just shooting them out at every single one of them, right?
Yes. And we get this from both sides of the aisle, in which I mostly just ignore. But today, for some reason, I threw this out there because I felt like it was funny because she was just totally ridiculous. Most of the time, we'll get tagged in something, like some kind of comment or something, and it happens everywhere. But
that's funny. That's crazy. I promise you, Sandra, this team is not as armed and dangerous as you think they are. Okay?
I promise you, Sandra's not listening.
I promise. Oh, I guarantee that, right? Because didn't you try to hit her back up and she blocked you or something?
No, I just I just quoted her tweet and she blocked me. Yeah, I mean, well, everybody, and thank you to Syracuse Twitter who got on that quote, that quoted tweet that I put up there. Thank you to everybody who got on there and just ruined her day, because some of it was hilarious, and it's just such a joke. We live in a time where you're just gonna jump on a trigger word, and let's be honest, man. You know, all you got to do, like I said, is click the profile picture, look at the bio, man, and you realize this is just a kind of a fan page thing, which is clear,
like a sports thing, right?
Yes.
Maybe she's just like, wow, here's this racist who really likes Syracuse.
I mean, maybe read a couple tweets, something. And that goes for everybody that tags me. It goes for the other side of the aisle who tagged me and odd things that I don't want to be affiliated with. So, yeah. Anyways.
It's called do your homework.
It's called look at my profile.
Yeah. That's all you got to do. Click a button, read.
Anyways, I want to thank Sandra for the laugh after an awful sports weekend with Syracuse. And I really appreciate it. So I screenshotted this because I knew she would take it down. And she has.
I wonder if she likes Syracuse.
No, that's not why she's on Twitter.
No, oh, okay.
She's trolling people. So, anyways, look, thank you.
People don't do that,
huh? Oh yeah, never do they do that. Look, I want to thank all of you. I want to thank BetOnline.ag, Manscaped.com. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.